please, to Joshua chapter number 20. Joshua chapter number 20, begin reading in verse number 1. We'll try to be obedient to the Lord. We preached last night in Dayton, Tennessee, for Brother Leland Frazier. I got into bed pretty late, but the Lord spoke to my heart clearly. I was in question about what the Lord would have me to preach this morning. I'm interested in that. I'm not interested in just giving you a little sermonette, a little outline, 2 points of a poem. I want to know what God wants. Amen. There's no counterfeit or there's no substitute for that. And the Lord spoke to my heart clearly what He wanted me to preach this morning. Amen. Joshua chapter number 20, verse number 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any persons or person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he hath, that doth flee into one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of the city. They shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of the of blood, that is the one that's trying to kill him, the one that's chasing him, that's hounding him, harassing him, desiring to kill him, if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly or accidentally, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest. That shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from which he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side of Jordan, by Jericho, eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will help us here and direct our thoughts. Help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to say nothing more, nothing less, God, than that which would please and honor you. I pray you'll help us to be spirit-filled today. Lord, I need that. I must have that. Lord, I must preach in power today if there's going to be any results, if there's going to be any effect. We pray in Jesus' name that you'll drive home the message to our hearts. Your will to be done, and we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The cities of refuge in the Old Testament, you find it recorded several, well, actually three major places. Numbers chapter 35 and Deuteronomy chapter number 19 and then Joshua chapter number 20. Cities of refuge. As you look at these cities, you will find that they are a shelter for someone to escape death. An excellent picture of the refuge that we have in salvation in Christ Jesus. Amen. I mean, without these cities of refuge, death would be inevitable. It'd be unavoidable. That he would die. There would be no place to run. There would be no place to hide. But as the choir sung, I'm glad we have a shelter. I'm glad we have a refuge. And his name is Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 6, verse number 18, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Who are we? We that have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. And he explains who that is. Verse 20, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But if you'll notice that statement in verse 18, he talked about, as he describes believers, describes saved people, we are those who have fled. Fled, meaning we've got something we better run away from. There's something that we better run away from. And I'll tell you what one is that condemnation. That condemnation of sin is on your trail. Amen. That's why you have to do nothing to go to hell, is because you're condemned already. And sin is after you. Death is after you. Judgment is after you. Amen. That's right. But thank God we have Jesus that we can flee to for a refuge, for a shelter, for protection, for a fortress that in a time of need. Amen. Well, I'm glad of that. I don't have to fear the storm because I have a shelter. I don't have to fear the avenger of blood that would love to destroy my soul, because I have already, past tense, fled from the wrath to come. I have fled from sin. I have fled from condemnation unto my refuge, who is Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, we just come through a time, all of us in here, just come through a time in the last few days where there was a lot said about shelter. A lot said about a storm. Storms are coming. The news, radio, television, you name it, was filled in our area with alerts, watches, and warnings. And constantly watching the storm as it approached and as it came our direction. And thankfully to the Lord, the worst of it went north of us, went above us. Sad for those, but glad for us. Amen. But the truth is, there was a lot of mention about shelters. Amen. Finding a safe place. Storms are coming. Now, I know you might think, well, preacher, why do I need a shelter? I'll just go out and I'll just go out and I'll just say, hey, storm, you're not coming here. You know? Yeah, I could see you weighing 95 pounds soaking wet, standing up to a 120 mile an hour winds. Amen. Or you could say, preacher, I wouldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I can't compare to the storm. The storm is bigger than me. It wouldn't have no problem to take me down. It would have no problem to take me out. I know what I'll do. I'll outrun it. I can run faster.
If I stay busy and stay active and I will run through my life and it'll never catch me. I was talking to Brother Scott, was that yesterday? I believe it was, or day before yesterday, I believe, day on Friday. And he was coming up 11W from Bean Station, coming home, and he was telling me, describing it, as he looks in his rearview mirror, he could see the storm. He could see it back behind him. And he was coming up the road, probably somewhere around the speed limit. And then he was talking and he said, it's behind me, I see it, it's behind me. I can see it, and he described it. Then all of a sudden he changed what he said and he said, preacher, it's caught up with me. He said, it's caught up with me. What was behind me chasing me and we thought we was ahead of it and going to outrun it. He said, it's done caught up with us and passing us up. In other words, we just become another one of the victims of the storm and of the rain. Sinner friend, you can't outrun it. You'll not outlive it. And you have no abilities of yourself to stop it. The storm that's coming in your direction, the condemnation that's hounding you, is greater than you are. And it will overcome you. It will take you down. It will take you out. What is your only hope? A shelter. I've heard ever since I've been old enough to know anything, Brother Brian, I've heard this statement. My mom would tell me often about having sense enough to get out of the rain. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Amen. The rain of judgment, like in Noah's day. Rain typified judgment. And the flood and the storm typified judgment. But guess what? Noah and his family had sense enough to get out of the rain and get in the refuge and get in the shelter, and nobody else did. The whole crowd died. The whole world's population died except those that was in the refuge and those that had sense enough to get out of the rain. I believe you'd have to say with me that a person would be a fool to have been outside if that storm had been directed and come our way. What went above us, had that come right through here, you'd have been foolish to have been a storm chaser. Hey, amen. I think them fellas ain't got much sense. I mean, they take pleasure of just getting right in the thick of things. Hey, amen. About to get blown away all for a little bit of footage. Hey, amen. I don't understand that. But I want to tell you, if you've got good sense today, you'll listen to the call of God. You'll listen to the voice of God. And you'll get out of the rain. You'll get out of the rain. I believe to remain in sin is dumb. Amen. That's not saying you're dumb. It's just saying that you've made, that's making dumb choices to turn away from the gospel, turn away from Christ and forgiveness. Like Miss Debbie said on the piano, I don't know why anybody would not want to be saved. It's such a wonderful thing. The devil's evidently lying to you to keep you unsaved. What is he telling you? That if you get saved, you'll never have any more fun. I can tell you that's a lie. That if you get saved, that it's just downhill from here on, and you have to just kind of, you know, go into mourning and dress in black and wear a veil and go around wiping tears because you're so bored and you're so down and you're so defeated. That is not true. I've been saved 31 years this past January, and I tell you, if it was like that, I surely would have found out by now. Amen. What's the devil telling you to keep you lost? What's the devil told you? And whatever he's told you, I can promise you it's a lie. But you need a refuge this morning. You need a shelter this morning. The news had one lady they'd interviewed there, or she called in or something, and she said that she heard this loud wind noise sound almost like a train. And they'd been telling her all along, you know, to get Take shelter. Take cover. Get in refuge. Get somewhere safe. Amen. And when she heard this noise, she started down the basement steps. And about the time she got to the bottom step, her house was gone. What if she had delayed a few minutes? What if she had said, you know what? Let me look outside and see what that is. Let me see if it's going around me. Let me see if there's some way I can whip it. If there's some way I can win. But no, she listened to the voice of those who knew what was happening that told her, get cover, take cover, get in a shelter, get in a safe place. And that's what I'm doing here this morning. I'm getting ahead of myself when I make this statement just a little bit, but that's all right. I found out that these cities of refuge, there was three on the west side of Jordan, and there was three on the east side of Jordan, and there was three strategically placed cities of refuge, and they all had roads that led to them. They made it to where these cities could be easily accessed. But the point I want to make in getting ahead of myself is that along these roads, they would station guides. They had people strategically placed along these roads to help anyone that is trying to find a city of refuge and to point you in that direction. You're looking at one of those guides this morning. I have been placed upon the road that leads to the city of refuge, the Lord Jesus, and I am saying that's the way to go. Go to Christ. He's the only hope. He's the only shelter for your soul. Amen. They went to great deal of effort to make sure that everybody that needed to get in could find a city to get in, Brother J.R. They made roads to each one of the cities. They had guides on those roads. And at every crossroads, I didn't know this until studying this, but at every crossroads, there was a sign. They had a sign at every crossroads with an arrow pointing in the direction of the city of refuge. And on that sign, it had the word M-I-K-L-A-C. I don't know how you would pronounce that, Miklac or whatever. But it means refuge. Now you say, preacher, what's the deal? They made roads to the cities. They placed guides on those roads to help people to point them in the right direction. Maybe they saw them turning around, Brother Kruchko. They saw them thinking, well, maybe this is not the road that leads to my safety. And maybe they started going around, backing up and turning around. That guide could say, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. You've got to have faith in what the guide says. You may not can see it. But the guide says go. The sign says go. This is the right direction. And any direction toward Christ is the right direction. And Brother Tim, these roads were so important, and these signs were so important that was placed at the crossroads where you could make a decision. A crossroads is where you could make a decision to go the wrong direction. Some of you are at a crossroads in your life about the all-important subject of salvation. But you're not paying attention to what is wrote on the sign that points you to the refuge. And His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. But what they would do once a year, all of those roads that led to those six cities, They would designate a team of workers that would go from one end to the other of each of those roads and repair them and make sure that they were passable, make sure that there wasn't nothing in those roads that would hinder somebody from getting in. What about that? Well, I'll tell you, that would be something good for us to do, is make sure we check our preaching and our message and our songs and our lives to see and make sure there's no hindrances. But they would make sure that the roads was okay and in good shape. But they would also look at those signs and make sure that they were clean. Weren't covered with dust and dirt. And they would if they needed repainting, they would repaint them. Because they wanted the sign and the arrow pointing to the city of refuge to be very visible. Because see, if you're fleeing from the avenger of blood, you don't have time to stop and try to clean off a sign. And you don't have time to stop and try to look at a sign and see, now which way is this arrow pointing? We want it to be very unquestionable around here which way the arrow is pointing. We don't want nobody to have to wonder about it. We want our message to be clear which way the refuge is and who it is. And His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, glory to God. Do you have a shelter this morning? Amen. I'm not worried about the judgment of God coming. Because I'm in the shelter. The Bible said in Romans 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are where? In Christ. If you're not in that city of refuge, then you're vulnerable to death. Amen. There's an avenger that's after you and has ill intent for you. There's a devil that wants to take you to hell. There's a life of sin that wants to keep you lost and take you to a devil's hell this morning. But I, as a guide, am standing on the pathway that leads to the refuge. And I'm saying, Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. Amen. Well, there's a lot that we could say about these cities of refuge, and I know you've heard them preached and all of that. But I want to tell you, friend, if you're not in, you're out. The only safe place is to be in. You've got to enter into one of those cities of refuge, typifying Christ. You can't just be near. I wrote that down this morning. I wrote that down. Near don't count. You can be close. You can be in view. You could have intent. I'm going. I'm heading that way. But I want to tell you, if you're not treating it in urgency and you're not making haste about it, my friend, guess what? The avenger could catch up with you. Because I promise you, he's not going to take no breaks. He's not going to take no breaks. His ultimate desire is to take you out. His ultimate desire is to take you out. Amen? Let me give you these few things here. And I, like I said, there's several things we could give. And I don't want to preach all day and give everything upon these cities of refuge. But I do believe God told me this morning to preach to this congregation today that you better get you a shelter for the storm. You better get you a shelter for the storm. Amen. I mean, though the news was filled with that advice, Brother Carroll, every person listening to the news had a will that can say, I am not listening to that. I'm just going to keep right on doing what I am doing. How foolish would it be for a person to say that to the gospel message? I'm not going to get serious about that. But let me give you a few things real quickly. And there's just some basic principles that is here about these cities of refuge. And you can study them out when you get home. And I hope you take it very seriously this morning. God is wanting you to ask yourself, are you in? Are you in a safe place? Do you have a shelter? Have you fled to Christ and made Him your refuge? And I mean, there's verses. I've got a whole list of verses right here of Psalms where David likens to God to be his refuge. God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Over and over again, David refers to God as his refuge. Psalm 61 in verse 3 refers to God as his shelter. Several times in Psalms, he refers to God as his fortress, his defense.
several words that identifies protection. Amen. Do you have that protection that you need? But here's some things about the city of refuge that lines up with that, with the Lord Jesus, our refuge. First, I find that these were appointed of God. That is, they were established by God. They were established by God. I don't know if you noticed as we read these verses of Scripture, but the word appointed showed up two or three times in Joshua 20. Appointed. Who appointed them? God did. God did. And here's the thing, Brother Krutchko, that blessed me. God made arrangements before the need ever arose.
Amen.
Before there was ever a need. Before there was ever a need. Hallelujah. God already had a refuge. Oh, Jesus Christ was not an afterthought. Jesus Christ was not plan B. No, before the foundation of the world, in the eternal counsel of God, God, my friend, ordained that Christ be the redeemer of mankind and of our soul. Before a man ever sinned, God had a Savior. Glory to God. They were established by God, provided by God, divinely appointed of God. It was God's idea. Oh, yes. Could I say a second principle that I see in parallel with the cities of refuge and also that of our Savior? Not only were they established by God, but I noticed number two, they were available to all. It wasn't just the Israelites, but it was whosoever. The word was used. Whosoever. Even if it's a stranger, just an alien. Could I say that? Because that's what we as Gentiles are accounted as strangers and aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Oh, yes. We need a refuge too. We need a refuge too. It was open for all. I'm glad of that. I'm glad to be able to go on record here this morning without blushing and without having to hide behind the pulpit. I'm glad to report to you that I nor Rogersville Baptist Temple ever have been, are, or ever will be a Calvinist.
Amen.
And if you don't know what that is, that's wonderful. That's those who follow the beliefs of John Calvin and described in 5 points, the TULIP as they call it. TULIP, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. Amen. We don't believe in fatalistic doctrine that says what will be. I'm telling you, you can take the gospel to any doorstep and you'll never take the gospel to the wrong address. Amen. If we have missionaries come through here all the time. In fact, next Sunday we'll have some more coming in to be with us. Hey, you know what? We don't have to ask them. Now where are you going? As if to inquire if it's a place of the non-elect. I'm glad we can take on missionaries going anywhere in the world and be glad to do it. Amen. Because you take the gospel to any creature and you're taking them to a prospect, taking the gospel to a prospect that needs to be saved. It's available. The cities of refuge was available to all. And number three, I noticed and just wrote down a simple little truth that the gates were always open. All the other cities, they would lock them down tight, put bars on them, and put guards about them. But these 6 cities, my friend, were to have their doors open all the time. I'm glad to report to you here this morning, the door is open still yet. Thankfully this morning for you, if you'll flee, if you'll run, if you'll act urgently and flee to Christ, the door is open. Don't wait for the door to close. If you think about the illustration of Noah, wonder how many of them and the Bible was careful to say, the Lord shut the door.
Noah didn't shut it. If he shut it, he could have opened it. Brother Tim, you hear somebody outside, you know, maybe a friend, a neighbor, a distant relative or something outside. Noah, open the door, please. We'll come in this time. But the Lord shut the door. The Lord shut the door. Don't let the door shut on you. The door's open still yet. Thank God that's true, isn't it? The door's still open because Jesus hasn't come yet. Now, He could come. And I just thought I'd let you know, if you're here today and you're lost, you've heard enough gospel today. If you've never heard no preaching before, you've heard enough gospel today already to hold you accountable for your eternal destiny. Well, I'll wait. I'll get saved on the second low now. Negative. Read Thessalonians very clear on that. All of those that are left behind, my friend, will receive strong delusions and they'll believe a lie rather than the truth and be damned. Amen. You can't get saved. If you don't get saved prior to dying, and prior to Jesus coming, you will not ever get saved.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
The gates are always open. They're open right now for you. Would you come? A fourth thing that I've seen, and I dealt with this earlier, so I'll just mention it and go on, and that is these cities were widely advertised. Everywhere you look was either a sign or a guide, some kind of something that was pointing you in the direction of the cities of refuge. They were widely advertised. No excuse for somebody in Rogersville, Hawkins County, or any of the surrounding counties to not know about where salvation can be found. We should widely advertise it. We should be the guides on the road. We should be the signs on the road, pointing men, pointing women, boys and girls to the Lord Jesus Christ. For safety, the storm is coming. There's a storm coming, brother. I'm telling you, there's a storm coming upon this world. And the only way you'll miss it is to be in Christ. There's a storm of judgment that's coming upon this world, my friend, that has never been seen before nor since.
Right.
And the only way to miss it, friend, is you've got to be in Christ.
Right.
Amen? That's exactly right. And that is the storm of the great tribulation period. Now listen to this. Number four, it was widely advertised. Not only did it have roads and signs and guides and all of that. I mean, everywhere you looked, it was well marked where the cities were at. But every one of these six cities were built in elevated places. They weren't built down in some low place. They were built up on elevated places. Why? So that, my friend, if you had need of fleeing from the avenger, my friend, and fleeing for your life, that's exactly what you're doing. Fleeing for your life. You didn't have to worry about where the city was at. No matter where you were located, you could look around and see one. Amen. Boy, we need to lift high the standard, lift high the message. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto me. Number five, I noticed that they were prominently, well, I've already dealt with that. They were prominently located on high places. Number six, everyone was within a day's journey of a city of refuge. No matter where you live, no, amen, well that's a good point. No matter where you live, no matter who you are, you're within a day's journey of a city of refuge.
Amen.
Think Paul might have had some of that in mind when he said, and was it 2 Corinthians 6? Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Every lost person in this building, you're within a day's journey of one of them refuges. Safety. Shelter. In other words, you can get saved today.
Amen.
Amen. The only reason you won't get saved is because you don't want to get saved. Amen. That's it. Amen. If you want to get saved, Jesus said, him that cometh to me, Now, wait a minute. Let's just get down to bare tacks right here. Let's just find out who means what. Amen? Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, what does that say? You come to him, he will not reject you, he will not cast you out, he'll not turn you aside. So if you don't get saved, it's on the coming part. You don't have to worry about Jesus saying, well, I know you come to the altar, sir, to get saved this morning, but I can't say, I'm not going to save you. You don't ever have to worry about none of that. No, I'm telling you, the door is open. God will save anybody that'll come to him, that'll repent of sin and believe the gospel. He'll save anybody. Yes, sir. Everybody is within one day's journey. Number seven, quickly. The cities of refuge had to be entered in haste. If you notice, as we read these verses, the word that appeared more than once is the word flee. Flee. That indicates running. Urgent. Haste. Something that's got to be done quickly. You know what delay equals in light of this? Delay equals death. Amen. The devil won't tell you don't go, don't get saved, don't get right with God. He'll never tell you that. He'll just say, take your time. He'll just say, why don't you slow down a little bit? You're getting too excited about this thing of being saved. No, you can't get too excited about getting saved. I want to say it this way. You can't get saved too quick. Amen. The cities of refuge, just like the Lord, must be entered into by a hasty move. You better get to running. I heard Dr. Percy Ray one time. I heard him several times, but I heard him one this particular time, and he got to preaching or giving an altar call. He never did preach. He just got up and he said, I know some of you drove 500 miles to hear me preach tonight. I'm not preaching. God said, here's what he wants me to do. And he started going through that, and I mean very large church. There's probably 2,000 people there, I guess. Balcony was filled, and he started giving an invitation. God said, out of this section of pews, there's five that needs to get saved. You know who you are. You might as well get up right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 down the aisle. I mean, they went, buddy. He went to this section of pews, and I mean, there were several section of pews and several sections in the balcony, and he started going from section to section. Then he'd come back and said, no, God ain't through with this section. There's another one or two over here. And I mean, he'd give the number down the, and then, and you know what, Brother Bill? They was running. They were running. I mean, brother, coming out of the balcony, running. I'm talking full running speed down the aisle and sliding into the altar like they're sliding into home plate. Why? Because they, my friend, was fearful that the avenger would catch up with them before they got inside. My friend, the cities of refuge or the protection, the safety, the shelter. I've seen it before. I've not seen it much, but I have seen it where people got up while I was preaching. They couldn't wait till the invitation, and I'd never tell anybody, wait now, wait on the invitation. No, friend, if God's dealing with you right now, God's speaking to you right now, the avenger, as I speak, as you're sitting on the pew, is after you. He's not waiting. He's not taking a break. He's not taking vacation. He's after you. His number one is intent is to take you out. Are you listening? He won't tell you. The devil won't tell you. Don't get saved. I mean, he could tell you that. But he know that you probably would reject that. But he's just going to tell you, I'll tell you what you need. You just need to take your time. After all, you're young. And after all, you know, you got a lot of irons in the fire and you're busy. And you know, you just got a lot of things going on. You need to just take your time about this matter. You can enter in later on in life. Brother, I want to tell you what happened to Brother Ron Mosier. I mean, it's a miracle for anybody to get saved. Brother Stowler, it's a miracle for anybody to get saved. But 71 years old, that's about, the odds I read on that was about 1 in 700,000. And you're on the winning side, Brother Ron. But have we not heard Brother Ron say out of his own mouth that he wished he'd have gotten saved early in life? Amen. Brother Critchko, I've heard, listen, you've heard me make this statement, but I believe the Lord wants me to say it again. I've met thousands of believers in 31 years in this country and other countries. Thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands, I don't know. But I have never heard one ever say, I wish I'd not got saved. I wished I'd have stayed out of shelter. I wished I'd have stayed in the storm. I wished I'd have took my chances. You don't have a chance. You're condemned already. Get that in your heart. You're condemned already. You don't wait till the judgment to see where you're going. That's all being determined now by what you do with Christ.
Amen.
Though I've heard no one say, I wished I'd have never got saved, or I wished I'd have waited on getting saved, or I'm glad I waited till a late year to get saved. I've never heard one, but I have heard hundreds, just to say it safely, hundreds say, I wish I'd have gotten saved early in life.
Yes,
wished I'd have gotten saved when God dealt with me the first time.
Yeah.
Oh, I wished I had. I could have got saved in single digits. I could have got saved 8 or 9 years old. I could have. But I didn't. And I wasted my teenage years. Oh, yes. I'm telling you, it's got to be it's got to be entered in haste. You better flee. You better run. I would say probably had a tornado come in our direction, and you was out in the yard, and you saw it coming. You heard the news, all the news alerts. I mean, you heard all of that. You knew it was, and you was out in the yard and you saw it coming. And everybody around is saying, hey, you need to get out of the rain and get out of the storm and get into shelter. How many of you said, well, we'll act a while. Let me think about it a little more. I got some more yard work to do. No. If you got any sense at all, you'd run for the shelter. You'd run. Amen. You'd run for the hiding place. Oh, yes. And then let me say this, last of all, number 8. We could say other things, but let me say this, number 8. When you enter in to the city of refuge, glory to God, you're safe until the priest dies. You say, preacher, what's that got to do? How's that blessing me? I'm in Christ. He's my high priest. And I'm saved. I am safe as long as he's alive. And the Bible said something very wonderful. He ever liveth. Thank God I'm safe. I'm saved. I'm safe from the storms. Because my priest will never die. Woo! Glory to God. Listen to this. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up to his hand. In other words, after you, the guilty one, have fled for the shelter and safety from the avenger of blood, and he pursue after you and come to the gate, he can't enter in. Oh, Lord, Brother Brian, don't get too blessed over that. The one that would love to take me out and take me down, he can't enter in. He can't come in and get me. If he were to come in where I am, he'll have to come through the blood, and he'd be a saved devil then, amen. Thank God he can't get in where I am. The storm cannot get in where I am. I'm in Christ. I am sheltered. I am safe. I am protected. Thank God, as long as the priest lives. I'm about to have a spell, amen. Not one time, Miss Sarah, not once has the avenger ever come to that entrance and say, I want her back. And God says, all right. Him that cometh to me, hello, come on, let's hear it well. I will in no wise. Amen. After I entered into the shelter, after I entered into the safety, after I entered into my refuge, have I lived perfect? Oh, no. Do I deserve to be thrown back out? Oh, yes. But I'm not getting what I deserve. Grace gives me what I don't deserve. Mercy holds back what I do deserve. And every time the avenger comes to the gate to get one that's in safety and in refuge, he walks away empty-handed, shaking his head, saying, well, I lost that one. No doubt the avenger would say, if I had it to do over again, I would have chased them harder. I would have run harder. I would have put forth more effort. I would have won. Amen. But I'd like to just slip out and peek out from around behind my high priest that'll never die and say, yeah, but you won't never get to do it again. I was lost one time, and you tried to take me to hell then, but it's not going to happen now, big boy. I am in Christ, amen. I am saved. I am safe, hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, you look at what I've been saved from. Look at what you've been saved from. That right there is enough for you to go, woo! That's enough right there to get you excited, amen. Look at what you've been saved from. Hallelujah. Look what you've been saved with. Look at what you've been saved to. Amen. Glory to God. Are you safe? If you're not saved, you're not safe. If you're not in Christ, your refuge, your shelter, then you're not saved. Now, wait a minute. I hope you didn't hear me wrong. I didn't say if you've been baptized, you're saved. I didn't say if you've been a church member, you're saved. I didn't say if you've been a good moral person that you're saved. I didn't say, nor does the Bible say, none of those. The only person or people that are saved are those that are saved that no longer is out there in that life of sin, is in Christ, and Christ is in you. Amen. And the avenger cannot enter in. It's off limits. He just has to go after another one. He didn't get you, Brother Brian, so he'll go after you, somebody else. But Tim, he didn't get you. Brother Kruchko, he didn't get you. Did he want to? I've heard a little bit of your testimony. Was there any close calls? More than we got time to hear this morning. Brother Bob, did that get you? More times than you'd like to tell? What about you, brother? How about you, sis? Brother Silas? And I'm just at random. I could, Brother J.R., Brother Matt, see us? Brother Jason? I could just close my eyes and point, and I could point to somebody that the Avenger has come close to taking you out. Brother John, you had any close calls? Brother Darrell? Miss Christy? I don't have to ask you, Brother Jeter. I know you did. But aren't you glad that it was just a close call, that it wasn't a done deal? Brother Rogers, when you blowed your leg off, the devil wanted that to be your head probably. When you was laying out there, nobody nowhere around, the devil meant for that to be your grave. He meant for you to die right there on that spot. But I want the devil to know, though I likewise had some close calls, I want him to know that close don't count. Amen. You didn't get me. You will never get me. I'm saved. I'm saved. Hallelujah. But he's going after another. We're fixing to start an invitation right here, but I want to tell you, though he didn't get me, we've got some young kids in here. We've got some adults in here that's lost without God. Though he did not get me, Brother Frankie, I like to remind his sorry hide of that. You didn't get me, big boy. And for 31 years, I've been exposing you. 31 years, I've been exposing you and what you've been trying to do. But though he didn't get me, He's after these girls and boys in here that's not saved. These mamas and daddies in here that are not saved. He's after you. He's after you. And if you're not in Christ, you're not saved. You're one heartbeat away from hell. You're one breath away from hell. Though I stated earlier that no matter where you live, you're one day's journey away from any one of those cities of refuge, making them easily accessible and available. But watch this right here. Though that is true for you today, this is today. Today's the day of salvation. You can get saved today. But also in this same day period, the Avenger can catch up with you. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father.